You're listening to Bob, Dave, and More on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio. Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
Now here are your hosts, Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, and Jim Moore.
It is Bob, Dave, and More on 710 ESPN Seattle. A reminder, you can listen to our show via the 710 Sports app. It's powered by Dubin Law Group, so you can take us with you anywhere you want to go. Just get that app. Listen to us everywhere. It's beautiful. It's modern. It's what the kids are doing.
It's all the rage. What are we listening to here?
This is REM.
Yeah.
Everybody we usually
hurts.
Do it for Mean Tweets, but
Everybody Hurts.
Seemed appropriate.
Very well-chosen music here.
Oh, yeah. By the way, you guys can...
Are we allowed to say butt hurt on
sure.
the air? Okay. I think they're butt hurt down in San Francisco, and this is the appropriate music to play.
Yeah. Maura did a great job. She did a deep dive into listening to San Francisco radio, listening to fans, listening to hosts in their reaction to a Super Bowl loss. So we've got a couple of clips that we're going to play just to get a little sense of how
yeah.
who they're blaming, how they're feeling.
Definitely a lot of Garoppolo and Shanahan hate going on today.
Uh-oh.
We'll
okay.
start out with the Joe Lo and Dib show in the morning. We've had Lorenzo Neal come on this station a lot. He's great. That's his show. But this is Dan Dibley from that show going off on Kyle Shanahan. And even a little shout-out to how he thinks Pete Carroll would have been better.
Ooh. And as for Shanahan, I love him. I still like the idea of the 10-year extension. But he sucked yesterday. He sucked. And a lot of people are going to think that's harsh, but he was way too conservative at the end of the first half. He does not trust the offense. He even said it himself. I'm going to look for this audio somewhere on the screen. You guys gave me all this audio. It's a great job. Great. I'll find it at some point. But the point is, he turtled up. He turtled up. If you don't want to, if he calls the timeout, Kansas City punts the ball. You got two timeouts and you got about a minute 37 to go. Now, Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson go for it there. Aaron Rodgers goes for it there. Any Peyton Manning situation ever is going for it there. Drew Brees is going for it there. Tom Brady's going through it for it there. They did.
I love Dan Dibley. We've had him as a guest before. He's a great guest, but I don't necessarily agree with him there. Like we talked about earlier, well, if Kansas City had downed the ball inside the 10 instead of the ball going into the end zone, it's easy to say when you see that they get the ball at the 20, hey, you'd have a minute 40 left instead of a minute or whatever it was. But
if they would have called timeouts and thrown a pick, they would have been the biggest idiots ever.
Yeah, why didn't they just go into halftime tied at 10? There would have been second-guessing for that.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So,
yeah,
I mean,
if it doesn't work, you get second-guessed.
But if you get the ball downed at the one or the two, then you're not going to be throwing at that point, and you're handing it off. Kansas City's loading the box and stopping the run. And then you might give the ball back to Mahomes with 40 seconds to go.
That seemed to be the fear. I think they do lack a little bit of confidence in Garoppolo. And there is a fear there of, hey, we don't want this offense that's been kind of dormant. We don't want to set them on fire. So I kind of get the thinking, but I would have called the timeout. John Lynch would have called the timeout because they flashed to him up in the suite, and he's making the hand sign, timeout, timeout, timeout. And I like that the whole, it was that Dibley speaking, or whoever that was, his first example of who's going to go for it. Well, Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson go for it. Of all people, we're talking about them being ripped nationally for being outdated.
Why don't you modernize your offense like Kyle Shanahan?
They're old school. Yeah, the 49ers are so innovative, and Pete's stuck in the 80s and 90s, and his first example of somebody that would go for it. Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson are going for it. I love it.
Hey, can I just also give another? You just have to be true to your opinion, and if you think people should be more aggressive or whatever, but this was late in the third quarter, really late, about a minute and a half left, and the Chiefs were down by 10.
Mm-hmm.
And they ran a running play on second and 10.
The 49ers did.
No,
the Chiefs. Okay.
Yeah, I'm talking about the Chiefs. And it's just in general, you know, football plays. You know, we talked about that play last week against Green Bay. Third and eight, you run a trap play, and it worked beautifully. They scored a 36-yard touchdown. If that gets shut down, of course it gets totally panned.
Yeah.
But they ran it, and it was a pretty simple running play, just like a lead play. Second 10, they come up third and five. Well, luckily, Patrick Mahomes picks up the first down. They go on. That's a scoring drive there. Or no, actually, I think they got intercepted down the field. It was either that or they scored. But it's a second and 10 play. Nobody, and we talk about this a lot, Jim, nobody ever talks about when a play like that, you know, either doesn't work or does work in an obvious or not so obvious situation.
right? So that was second and 10. I mean, I'm sure a lot of people were going, what an idiot. Why are you running this play here? Well, it worked out. It worked out. And, you know, they had a plan and a sort of, you know, rhythm that they were in. So, I mean, I guess when I saw Lynch signaling for the timeout up there, it kind of swayed me. I bet you if a lot of people didn't see that, I bet you that changed a lot of people's minds. I think John Lynch is an incredibly brilliant guy. And so, and I pushed
all the right buttons to this point,
oh
hasn't
my
he?
Gosh. Yeah.
So, 4-win team last year.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's done a great job and he's very humble about it. So, but, you know, there was an example. I might have told this story just getting off on the John Lynch thing a little bit. But there was a story that I heard about somebody who they were going to hire that had, you know, some kind of a past that he did not want to be, you know, on his staff. He didn't want this guy because of, you know, it was some kind of a crime. It was some kind of a domestic abuse type of situation. Mm-hmm. And he said, if you guys want to hire this guy, you can go on and do it without me because I'm not going to be part of this. So the guy
like
has, yeah, so there's a lot of respect for John Lynch. And so he's up there, and rightfully so, and he's up there signaling for a timeout. I think that changed a lot of people's minds. But I could never, you know, 100% with 100% confidence go, he should have done this there. Because you see it work out all the time. It could be like the most basic play, like the trap play on 3rd and 8. You know, it could be there's, if you execute, as Richard Sherman says, you know, every play will work.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not so much about the play calling. And that's where I think, is this coming from the Madden folks? The Madden, mm-hmm. you know, calling the plays, playing the...
I'm not sure what inspires
the video
it.
Game?
I think it, more than anything, what inspires complaints about play calling are plays that don't work.
Yeah.
Because they're not executed well. I don't know that they're poorly designed per se, but they just don't work. So to the coaches and GMs at home on their couch, why would you do that? That's stupid. I could have told you that wasn't going to work.
Right, because you're sitting there watching. But I guarantee you, you know how they get those play sheets together? They run plays that have worked all season. So I'll bet you on any of the plays that Kyle Shanahan's getting panned for, he can go and say, well, this worked against Cleveland. This worked against the Rams. We worked against this, and they have similar defenses. And that's why we selected these plays. There's thousands of plays that they put on those sheets. You know, they pare it down to, like, you know, maybe 100, 120 calls. And then, you know, you have different situations. But the reason they're on that sheet is because they've worked.
Yeah.
And they worked for you and got you to the Super Bowl. So that's why you're calling those plays. So to me, the second guessing of somebody who, you know, he's obviously very good.
Yeah.
And now he's given up 2 10-point leads in the Super Bowl, Kyle Shanahan is.
Yeah.
Is that a trend?
Well,
is it a trend, Jim? If you're betting,
I don't think it's a trend. Kyle Shanahan's a young coach. So, yeah,
we're just supposed to be, like, you know, kicking them out while they're down right now, though.
Yeah, we're all defending him. Here, let him defend himself here for a moment. Here's what he said explaining his mentality through that series.
Yeah, they had 3 timeouts. It was 10-10. The last thing we were going to do is allow them to get the ball with 3 timeouts, especially with their quarterback and offensive speed. To go in there and score before half felt real good. 10-10, especially with us starting with the ball. Thought it played out all right. Thought we should have got points, but... They ended up calling that PI on Kittle, so took it away.
All right,
couple of texts here. 206 talking about conservative plays are okay when you're creative in other ways. Seahawks run conservative plays all day. It's their trend. There's no creative mix. What's creative mix?
Do you guys want to hear Dibley's response to that cut from Shanahan?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He was pretty angered by it.
You know, it wasn't Garoppolo's best game, but you know what? It wasn't Patrick Mahomes.
Whoop. Sorry, that wasn't the right one. We need this one.
They ended up calling that PI on Kittle, so it took it away.
No, that didn't take it away. You took it away. You took it away coming out running the ball, not calling timeout, playing it too conservative. Then they come out in the third. They march right down the field. They're averaging, where the hell is this note? They're averaging 7.6 yards per play. And they hadn't punted once. And 4th and 2 from the Kansas City 24. Let's get the field goal unit out there. You're up 13-10. Congratulations. That's not enough. You're playing the Chiefs. You saw what they did on tape to the Texans. You saw what they did to the Titans. And you were keeping them from doing that right up until 7 minutes to go in the game. And then they did it to you. They've done it to everybody. You had to prepare against that. You couldn't just expect your defense to hold these guys to 17 points and you'd win the game.
I agree with them on that one. When they had fourth and two and they got Robbie Gould out there for the 42-yard field goal, I thought, man, maybe you guys should go for this right here. Fourth and two, especially considering the offense you're going against, I agree.
Andy Reid would have. He was doing. He was fourth down man yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was pirouetting on fourth down.
Right? Four different times?
Yeah.
I think they were three for four.
Is that what it was? Yeah, they were. Give them credit. They put it out there. All right, who do we have other anger? Other
two for
sadness?
Three they were.
Yes, we have some callers.
Okay.
This caller says Jimmy G, you know, looked like maybe he was a little out of it and not quite in the game, but Shanahan still has to trust him.
In the end of the first half, you had an opportunity. If you got a good quarterback, Aaron Rodgers, any top 10 quarterback, you got 135, you go get them points. That's the second time he did the same thing against Seattle at halftime in Seattle where he didn't trust Jimmy to go down the field and make a play. At the end of the day, man, you're paying this guy all this money. You have to trust your quarterback. And Jimmy was off. He's an F. You lost. You didn't play well. You turned the ball over. You looked shook. If you go back and look at the first possession of the game, and Kyle's talking to him, Jimmy looks shook. He had to calm him down. So it's like, man, Jimmy needs to work on this game, man. He cost the Niners the Super Bowl. Him and Kyle Shanahan, if you're going to pay this guy, you're going to start him. You have to trust him. I'm not the biggest Jimmy fan, but I'm not paying him this money.
That same guy, though, like you were talking about earlier, Dave, if Garoppolo had thrown an interception, if they got overly aggressive, he would have been calling in saying, man, they should have just sat on the ball knowing they were going to get the ball first in the second half.
Probably. But you do see a trend, especially if you're a 49er fan, because they did the same thing in Seattle. He's right. They got conservative. There does seem to be a little bit of a lack of trust in him. I think Pete Carroll would probably trust Russell Wilson. I don't think they were wrong when they said that. Dibley said that.
Yeah, but would Pete have done that in Russell Wilson's second year?
Well, it's not Garoppolo's second year in the
league. Second year starting.
Yeah, second year playing.
Yeah, but he's, I don't know. I mean, listen, they the first year they sort of took the reins off. In the first half of the season, they didn't let him do anything. And then it was the Bears game where they just sort of said, go. And you saw what happened. So there's more caution with Jimmy for whatever reason. And I'll go back to Dave's thing. We don't watch him in practice. Maybe they see things in practice that says, all right, here's the game plan. We need to be a little bit more conservative with him because he doesn't do this well or he doesn't do that well or
wow,
whatever. So he was atrocious in the fourth quarter. I don't think the caller was wrong, though. You paid that guy like an elite franchise quarterback. That's the kind of money. He's not making good quarterback money. He's making elite quarterback money. Yet you're not coaching him that way. You're not play calling that way.
Yeah, but I'll go back to what did they win, 13 games?
Yeah, but this is the one that mattered.
Well, sure. But, I mean, look, sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't. And the way you handled it all year was a smashing success.
Yeah, it worked out smashing the week before success. Where he threw eight passes.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, do whatever you think.
Do you think they got more conservative with Garoppolo in the playoffs, though? I think that's some people's argument.
Yeah.
I
didn't think going in. I thought the problem for them would be if you have to have him win a game for you, he probably can't. But, you know.
And proved you right.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's what I think how they were. He was very frank about the thing, like, I didn't want to give them the ball back with a guy like Patrick Mahomes. He's basically admitting, yeah, this guy can beat us.
Even though at that point, they had completely shut him down for the most part. I mean, they didn't. We were talking about Mahomes didn't look right, he was off, and, you know, that explosive Chiefs offense, you had him under control, you had awesome pressure. The front four was just a menace out there. I mean, Mahomes is running for his life. So at that point, your defense was having a pretty dominant game.
Yeah. Yeah, so anyway, by the way, 509 says, who would you take, Jimmy G or Jared Goff? Go.
Goff.
Bob?
Oh, I'd take Jimmy G.
Jimmy G. I'm Jimmy G. Maura?
Do you get to pick the coach? I feel like that matters for Goff.
Listen to Maura trying to complicate things.
All right.
Jimmy G or Jared Goff?
Jimmy G.
All right. It's Belichick, by the way. The coach.
Oh, there we go. See, I win.
Why didn't you ask Matt? Matt?
Because Matt doesn't care. And I respect him for that.
What was the question?
Yeah, see? I wouldn't listen to the show either. If I was you.
He's just trying not to talk into the mic so the
just
camera doesn't
the
go to him.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. He doesn't want that. So, yeah.
He listens to the golf show, though. I just know he does.
Do we have more sorrow?
No, maybe not so much.
Yes. So we have Rob, a caller that called into the Joe Lowe & Dibbs show. He is very upset at the level of, belief that they could still do it on the sidelines.
When the Chiefs were about to crumble,
I'm looking at the sidelines, and Honey Badger is going down the sidelines in God's face, man, challenging them. I'm looking at the sidelines. Mahomes is going one by one to his receivers, looking them in the eye, getting some fire in them. And then when the 49ers are down, I'm looking at the sidelines in tittle, and it's completely deflated. The 49ers' body language, there was not one leader that rose up on the 49ers and challenged their own teammates. Man, we could have won this game. 24 to 20. Come on, we get the ball. And I don't see one 49er rising. We've got Lee, we've got Sherman, we've got all these guys on the sidelines, and not one of them are challenging their teammates to rise up. This game was ours to win.
You needed more of a cheerleading squad on that sideline. There wasn't enough of the rah-rah.
No, cheerleaders? Come on. These guys are professionals, man. And everybody does it in different ways. And I guess I have a tendency to get almost think it's kind of hokey. Because, you know, if I'm on the sideline, somebody's like, come on, come on. I'm like, yeah, I know. I already know. Okay?
Did you have anybody like that you played with in Seattle or Denver that would...
No.
You guys were getting it handed to you.
The only thing that would annoy me, there's a guy, Jeff Robinson, who when he would come to the sidelines and describe a play, he would like use full speed like examples with you. I'm like, Jeff, please, I'm not the offensive tackle. And he would like slap you in the head. And then I gave him the hit. And I'm like, okay, just use your words.
The let's go thing doesn't work for
well,
you.
Well, this guy is, yeah, it just, everybody's mad. And everybody's butt hurt there. So, yeah, they're trying to come up with all these different ideas. So, yeah, it's just your opinion. That's all it is. You know, like I asked the guy, he said, well, I need to have a creative mix. I'm like, who decides if it's creative? You? What are your qualifications?
Well, I think they responded. It's a healthy dose of play action, misdirection, fourth down pirouettes,
et cetera. Okay, here's my response to that. Okay, there you go.
This is becoming a theme, Dave.
Well, that's how he, I don't like how he sums it up. Stuff. It's not my nature to be immature on the radio. Well, yes, it is.
Well, let me just finish his text because you may learn something about defense, Dave, since you don't have any familiarity
with it. Do we want to give
it.
This guy any more time?
It moves the defense and keeps them guessing. This helps your offense and will allow you to run basic trap every now and then with success. Three straight up the middle running plays to Marshawn Lynch when you're behind is not creative mix. If you don't know it when you see it, perhaps you need to get into hockey or something.
All right. Okay. Wow. Numbnuts, you need to get into an NFL coaching. Go ahead. Apply. Let's see. It's a long friggin' line. So we'll see. We'll see how it works out for you.
Tell the former NFL linebacker.
We didn't even lose the Super Bowl here. And we're getting this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Like,
well, if you want to hear, let's let Dave hear from someone who did actually play. Terrell Owens also joined the Joe Lo and Dibs show this morning, and he said that he thinks Shanahan covered up for some of Garoppolo's weaknesses this year.
What everybody has been doing all year long is questioning, you know, was Jimmy G the guy? Did Kyle Shanahan kind of, you know, cover for him, you know, throughout the course of the season? He played some similar. This game was coached. Almost like a game manager type of situation when it came to Jimmy G.
I don't think he's off base, and I tend to question T.O. because he had a problem with every quarterback he played, whether it's McNabb, whether it was Garcia, or whether it was Romo. He took issue with all of them. So
I don't know why I'm sticking up for him, but wasn't he 17 for 20 at one point in this game?
Garoppolo?
And weren't they on the verge of... When they started that last drive, or the one when they were down 24-20, they started at their own 15. That's when they had the 17-yard run by Mostert. And then they threw to Kittle for 8 yards after the false start. They threw to Bourne for another 16. They were at midfield. At that point, didn't you think they were going to get it done?
Yeah, he was having a representative to good game through the third quarter. I mean, in the third quarter alone, Garoppolo was 8 of 9 for 94 yards, 110 rating. It was the fourth quarter that became the problem. Yeah, not that he was slinging it all over before that, but he was functioning. I mean, at the half, he was 9 of 11, 89 yards, a touchdown, and a pick. Whereas Mahomes was 12 of 18 for 104 yards, no touchdowns, no picks.
Wow, and a couple of those interceptions, well, the one that he threw to Fred Warner, shoeless Fred Warner, by the way, that was the guy that Russell tossed his shoe off to the sidelines.
Right.
But, yeah, he's a great player, and he was in the right spot at the right time. But, you know, it's funny, you look at some of these plays that look so obvious. I don't know if you guys remember, there was like a little wheel route that Damien Williams ran, and the ball was in the air, and he couldn't locate it. Do you remember that? It was in the end zone, and he just kind of kept running. Everybody's going, why isn't he looking? You know, it's not so easy when you're out there on the field. I mean, you're looking back. There's all this stuff going on, and sometimes the ball gets lost, maybe in the lights, whatever. So it's just a little bit harder than people think.
Well, there's such a fine line between one storyline and another, because if San Francisco had held on to that 20-10 lead, and let's say they won 20-17 or came back and won 27-24, the whole storyline today would have been like, what was wrong with Patrick Mahomes? Man, he threw two interceptions. He wasn't himself. And yet now Garoppolo's the one who's getting trashed.
Yeah. Anything else in the way of tears, sorrow?
There was one more. There was a caller that was upset with the refs.
You know, it wasn't Garoppolo's best game, but you know what? It wasn't Patrick Mahomes' best game either. And he really outplayed him for 3.5 quarters. And I really don't put this on Jimmy. This is his first year as a starter, and he got him to the Super Bowl. I mean, how many quarterbacks can say that, first off? And then I want to touch on a little bit, and I hate to be this person, and I can't stand people to do it, but it was just unbelievable to me yesterday, the referees and the calling of this game. And I can tell you, right, I've never seen watched a game, where there was two penalties by the same team on one play, and there was referees right there to see it on both of them, and neither one of them was called.
Do we know what we're talking about there?
No, I'm not entirely sure what, but I just like these. Like, I don't want to be that guy, but you are. But you are. We looked at it before the show, 9 total accepted penalties in this game. I felt like the refs just let them play for the most part. You pointed out a play saying, hey, how come this wasn't helmet to helmet? That regular season easily would have been called. They let it go. So I'm not coming away from this game going, well, this team got jobbed or this team got jobbed.
It's funny, too, that they wanted the delay of game penalty after they saw that the play didn't work. And so they were, and you could see they blew that one. And then another one, the one criticism I'll have of Jimmy G was they had a free play at one point.
Yeah.
He was in the first half and he just did a little check down thing instead of just going for broke.
Yeah, I noticed that too, and it ended up getting dropped.
Yeah.
So they got their 5-yard penalty, but still, yeah, you take a shot there. So, yeah, I mean, there's always different things that you could do. And, you know, the other thing I would say on that play, and I always feel this way about for quarterbacks, you're not entirely sure that's going to go your way. You know, the D lineman jumps off. Right. Maybe an O lineman,
moved.
Tweaks a little bit. By the way, Steve Harvey had something really funny about that. He was talking about how the flinch thing is because you're tightening up your what he called a sphincter.
Sphincter.
Yeah. And how you should be able to get 2 or 3 of those little flinches, you know, and because the guy coming across from you is evil. His defensive players are evil.
Oh, I love when people mess up words.
Yeah,
makes me happy. All right, you guys can continue to text in 710-710 to the Coors Light text line and keep in mind some people saying, "Yeah, mean tweets." So that'll become a feature. We'll collect them through the week, and we'll save some of the mean texts. But as Dave says, make sure you're doing it right. There was one last week where you're like, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah, you know what, though? It's a fine line, though, because one guy I really liked, he just goes, bleep you, Dave.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's really funny.
That was on the heels of all the praise you were getting, and I requested that somebody bring you back down to earth.
So, I mean, that was good, but yet...
Yeah,
it's a subtlety, you know. It's an art. What did this guy call it? The creative mixture.
Yeah, there you go.
It's a creative mixture of words.
Yeah. So keep that in mind. We're open to mean text, but you know, just toe that line if you can. All right, coming up, how much of an impact did the former Seahawks in the Super Bowl have? We'll talk more about that coming up with Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Bob, Dave, and Moore.
Streaming live through the Alaska Airlines studio on the 710 Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, and Jim Moore.
It is Bob, Dave, and Moore here on 710 ESPN Seattle. We'll get into what kind of an impact some former Seahawks had last night, but can I give you one of my new favorite players in the league?
Yeah.
Plays for the Chiefs. And he is Derek Nnadi. You know who he is?
Oh,
you know what, Bob? I was just going to say that. I was going to make that, I swear to you.
Probably for two different reasons, though.
Okay, what's yours?
In response to the Chiefs' 31-20 victory over the Niners, Nnadi will pay the adoption fees for the dogs who were in the shelter as of Sunday for as long as it takes for those dogs to be adopted. So his adoption fees are generally around $150, but he's 91 dogs he's going to pay for. I believe that's his uniform number.
It is.
Yeah. So he's going to pay the adoption fees for those dogs. And I guess he did some before. It says KC spokesperson for the KC Pet Project said 20 dogs had been adopted through the program as of early Monday afternoon. 10 dogs might usually be adopted on an average workday. But he's done it before. He paid for the adoption fees for one hard-to-adopt dog after each Chiefs victory. And all of the dogs in that program found a home. So there you go. He's going to do that for, I believe, 91 dogs.
Yeah, it's very cool. And I heard that he had, three or four tackles in the game?
Four tackles.
Including one tackle for loss.
Yeah, that was, I think, one of the first couple plays. He just exploded through. Their offensive line, the Niners' O-line, kind of got their butts kicked. They got it handed to them a little bit. And that's the reason why I'll go back through the stats. But they had 140 yards, the Niners did. It didn't seem like that. Didn't seem like they ran for, but 54 of that was from one guy.
Yeah.
And that's
Debo
Samuel. It
was kind of a trick play, a receiver.
Yeah, it was a reverse, and that was our guy, Jim. We thought he was going to be the MVP. And then Joe Fan jumps on board.
Yeah, I think
Twitter.
San Francisco, though, if they had won that game, I think Samuel probably would have gotten it.
Yeah, he might have been. But, yeah, so they ran on one of their drives in the second quarter for 54 yards. And that means the rest of the other eight drives, they only averaged 11 total yards rushing. So their game, their run game, definitely went south, man. And it was not so much because I thought it was more the will of the Kansas City defense and their D-line and guys like Derek Nnadi, who he stood out, man. He played really well. And then Chris Jones also, you know, he knocked down three passes.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was
seemed
a
like he was getting that big mitt on every other ball, it felt like.
Right.
So yeah, that was
he's
impressive.
He's a free agent this year, and we'll see.
Jones?
Yeah.
How did he play the rest of the year?
He's fantastic.
Has he been good all year?
Yeah. I think he led their team in sacks, but yeah, he's been really good.
I don't want to be prisoner of the moment because we did that with Mostert. Everybody thought, oh, this guy's great. He did 200 yards. And you look at it and go, he ran for 700 plus in the season. You run for 1,000. That's 62 yards a game. So.
Yeah, I was surprised that Coleman played yesterday after dislocating his shoulder, and he looked pretty effective, really. I mean, for coming off that injury, anyway.
Well, you had a couple of former Seahawks out there, obviously, one on each side of the ball. You had Sherman on one side, you had Clark on the other, and I was talking about, I was on Twitter throughout this game, and I had one Seahawk fan saying, you know, I'm so glad they traded Clark. Not! And I was like, well, hang on, what has he done to this point? And at that point, we were deep into the fourth quarter, he hadn't recorded a single tackle. I hadn't heard his name called. In fact, I heard his name called one time where he let a play. I can't remember what he did, but basically they were pointing out he made a mistake and the guy blew by him, whatever. So I was like, I'm not sure what prompted that particular tweet, but it was literally like two or three plays later he got to the quarterback and forced a bad throw. And, you know, so he had an impact at the very end. You saw Richard Sherman have a bad day out there. He was getting his butt kicked by Watkins. We talked about the Tyreek Hill play where he got juked and got hit by friendly fire. Of those two, if I'm looking at a former Seahawk and saying, yeah, I kind of wish that guy was still wearing a Seahawks jersey, it's a no-brainer, and it's Clark. It's not even close to me, is it? Is it for you guys? Would you be wanting Sherman back over
Clark?
No,
you'd want to see Frank Clark, especially with five sacks in the playoffs. I think he had three against the Titans, and then you saw what he did. That was a key play. It's kind of funny, though. You look at Clowney, and you're going, okay, but if you didn't have Frank Clark, you're happy to have Jadeveon Clowney. But, boy, I kind of wonder if you need that prolific pass rusher more than the versatility that Clowney gives you.
I think he needed the draft picks as well,
too. Yeah, it's a tough one. But, no, yeah, if you're talking Clark or Sherman, you take Clark for sure.
Yeah, Chris Jones, inside pass rusher. He had 9 sacks this year. I'm not sure if that led the team for them. I said that it did. But he was really disruptive. And what about personalities? I think Frank Clark, let's see how he handles this.
Yeah, I feel like he's teetering, man. He's really feeling himself, as they like to say, and he's been extremely vocal in this. And you hear him after the game saying, "I'm getting that ring size for my middle finger, so I can show all my doubter." He seems like he's pretty out there now. He's been paid. I think you're right. Because I think that was the fear here in Seattle. How does this guy respond when you give him generational money? When he's got no concerns financially to speak of, unless he's a, you know, Mike Tyson style of spender. But how is he going to respond? Yeah. And I think there was some leeriness, some apprehension there.
Yeah, so we'll there was. And I'll say this, in all of my dealings with him, like when he would come to the Thursday night show or we had him on the huddle or he came, you know, coming off the field, he's been great. But we'll see. You're right. You said teetering. I'm like, yeah, how much further is it going to go? Because remember what the GM said, you know, that it's about how your guys handle a win and a loss.
Yeah.
You know, and the loss, everybody wants to point fingers. The win, everybody wants credit. Everybody wants more credit. And he didn't have a great year as far as how it started out.
Right.
But then he played well in the playoffs and everything. So, and right. I think he's a fantastic player.
But last night, he was not an impact guy. I'm sorry. He was at the very, very end. Yeah, he came up, and that was a crucial point. But he didn't have a single tackle recorded up to that point.
Well, maybe this is a bad analogy, but I'll throw it out there anyway. That's like a guy going 0-for-4 and then hitting the game-winning home run, though. You don't really look at it and go, "Well, he didn't have that good a night, but boy, you sure liked his last at bat." So yeah,
you're talking about a game. If he had a game-winning play, then I would draw that connection.
Well, I mean, you have to go back and see how he played. I mean, he could have played well. And there's lots of times
double teamed all night.
Yeah,
maybe.
Whether he's getting double teamed or there's, you know, put the spotlight on him, see if he's, you know, doing his job. I remember going back through and looking at, you know, certain players, and you know, there's times where hey, things didn't go his way, and you know, he did a good job pressuring or whatever. So I mean, the stats certainly don't show it, but yeah. So for those two guys, we'll see how Frank reacts. But to me, the much more disruptive person was Richard Sherman, because he didn't like Russell for God knows why.
Right.
So, you know, and Frank was always fine. I actually, I don't know if you remember this a couple of years ago, when all the comments coming from Sherman and Frank Clark was in his locker, you might have been there, Bob, and he was like, "This is my team now."
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I remember thinking, well, whoa, hold on a second there, Cowboy. I think, you know, it's probably Russell's team. But, you know, and
maybe he was talking about his defense.
Yeah, but there's Bobby Wagner and KJ Wright. But, you know, I don't mind him doing that. I just like that he was defending, you know, our guys against Richard Sherman.
Yeah. Don't you kind of have the same feeling that the Seahawks did? Like, it feels like this could go the wrong direction. He feels like he's right about to turn the wrong corner.
I hope it doesn't, man, because I think he's deep down, you know, a good kid, and he's had a really tough past. And I'm hoping that this all works out for him. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, it's almost like the more you hear from him, once the third person gets thrown out there, and then – and I do it jokingly.
Really?
Yeah, I do, Bob. I hope you know that.
I know.
I just do it to bother you, Bob.
Yes, you
do.
That's
why Dave does it.
That's why Dave Wyman does that. All right. We've covered everything else from the game, and now it's time to get into the real controversial stuff. What were your thoughts on the commercials and the halftime show? A lot of heat coming off of that stuff on Twitter, I can tell you what. Real minefield, as Tom Wassel called it. That's coming up next with Bob, Dave, and more on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Bob, Dave, and more on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio. Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
Now here are your hosts, Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, and Jim Moore.
It is Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle. The texts are coming in, people weighing in on the halftime show. You can text in 710-710, your thoughts on the halftime show, your thoughts on the commercials. I always feel like we see these commercials during the Super Bowl, and then I don't recall seeing them much after the Super Bowl.
Mm.
It feels like they're not in heavy rotation. They spend, what was that number you're looking at, 5.1 million?
I think it was 5.6
or 5 points
for 30 seconds.
Oh, man.
And back in the last time the Chiefs were in the Super Bowl, it was like 68,000.
Yeah, yeah. Super Bowl IV, is that what you said?
Yes.
Yeah, well, 50 years
1969.
Ago. 1969. Yeah, so it's I feel like maybe they do run it more. I just feel like I see them there at the Super Bowl, and then you kind of forget them because very often I don't feel like I see them much after that. But the ones that stood out to me yesterday were the one with Aquaman. I think is it Jason Momoa? I have to look up
Jason Momoa.
Yeah. That was a great commercial, and I just love the way that it ended with him doing a bench press with just the bar. He's like, get it off. And she just like, all right. It was hilarious, and it looked real with those little skinny
really
twig
did.
Arms and him pulling the muscles off and everything. I thought that was really creative. And then Paul brought up the Bill Murray one, the Groundhog Day one. That was good too.
I didn't remember that one. I must have been getting a beer or something like that.
Yeah, they had like reenacted some scenes there where he's waking up and Needle Nose Ned and, you know, his brother was in it.
How about the park the car?
Park the car. I,
That was rated number one, CBSSports.com.
Really?
They rated them top 10. Yeah, they had that one number one. They had Jason Momoa number two, Groundhog Day number three. And so, yeah, for Jeep. And Bill Murray was actually looking forward to getting up because he knew he was going to go out and drive around.
That's the other thing. I never remember what the products were.
Yeah. Number four was Google's ad about the guy that lost his wife.
That was so
talking
depressing.
About Loretta.
Did you see that one?
Oh, yeah. How to Learn. Help Me Remember This.
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
I think it was well done.
Oh,
I thought it was really well done. But, boy, talk about a buzzkill.
Yeah, what about the Hulu ad with Tom Brady? A lot of talk about that one.
I was telling Maura, that was brilliant. Starting with his tweet.
Right.
Starting with his tweet of this picture with nothing, no words, no nothing, and we're all sitting there. Is he walking in? Is he going out? Is he leaving?
Is he walking in? Is he walking out?
Is he staying? Is he going? And everybody speculating. You got Schefter and everybody tweeting about it. And then you see the commercial, and you're going, oh. That is brilliant.
I think a lot of people were mad about it, though. Jessamine was.
I think the marketing department was, or whoever was in charge of that and creating that and getting that buzz and that reaction from that single tweet of a black and white picture where you couldn't tell which direction he was walking, you couldn't have asked for a better response. Yeah. All the speculation and everything, and then you see that commercial.
Why was Jess mad?
Well, it might have something to do with the fact that she just doesn't like Tom Brady.
Oh,
but she was like, of course he makes it all about him.
Yeah, she doesn't like Tom Brady. That's right. I forgot about that.
But I think there was a lot of other people that don't like Tom Brady that felt that way.
I'm not a Patriots guy in the least, you know that, but I thought that was really brilliant.
Yeah, it was. Well, and it was just, even without the commercial.
What was the product?
It was Hulu.
Hulu, okay.
Without the commercial, even, it was brilliant, because he tweets this picture out where you cannot tell. And you can say, okay, I'm going to look at it like he's walking back into the stadium. And I could make the case for it, and vice versa. So, yeah, it was well done by him. But nobody, you know, people in Seattle don't want Tom Brady to win. They don't want him to be part of anything that's good.
Nah, I just thought it was really clever. I thought it was really, to get that kind of buzz and conversation centered around one picture for all that time leading up to the game. Mm-hmm. That was brilliant marketing.
A lot of buzz and conversation about the halftime show.
Yeah.
People either really liked it, like me, or hated it. And the people who hated it couldn't understand why the people liked it, and vice versa.
Well, we're getting a lot of people texting in that thought it was inappropriate. And you know, if I want to see that, I'd go to a strip club and all of that.
If you want to see that, you'd watch the halftime show, 15 years ago?
Oh, with Janet Jackson?
Janet Jackson. And didn't Prince do something where his guitar was...
The silhouette behind the curtain
could
be viewed as a phallic symbol.
Yes.
But
did you like what Moyer said? If I'm around a bunch of 50-year-old plus guys,
he loved it.
I'm thinking it's great, but if there's kids in the room, I'm like, oh, we need to go outside and play catch or something. I don't know.
I
was barbecuing.
You missed it.
Yes, I did.
Mm. I thought they did a great job. I thought they looked great. I thought the dancing was great. I tweeted out saying, hey, they look great. Great job. I'd prefer to hear people actually sing live, and they have live mics, so they can say, hey, Miami, and have parts where they chime in, but they're not singing. Not that I ever expect J-Lo to sing. I've never seen her on an award show where she's actually...
So that bothers you.
Yeah, I think just as a musician, I like to see people put it out there and just see. And it was amazing how...
Are you sure they weren't singing?
I am sure. They were singing parts when they were holding still.
Okay.
But, you know, when you can hear a difference in the mix. When they're on the mic talking, hey, Miami, blah, 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 and then you hear the chorus come in and they're singing, it's different.
Okay. Well, you have an ear for that.
Yeah, and I think that's where it comes from.
Right? Yeah, you're going to be a little more discerning.
I just have an appreciation for people who do it live. Now, what was funny is I was probably
using my eyes more than my ears during that performance.
And, Jim, I don't blame
you.
What
do you mean, Jim?
But what was funny is I tweet that out. Hey, wouldn't that be weird to have somebody sing live? A crazy thought or something like that. And the majority clicked liked it. But the people that didn't like that got really, I'd like to see you do it. How about you sing and dance at the same time? And when is Jessamine got mad? And, oh, I can't wait to see Bob's halftime show next year. And I'm like, well, it's going to be fire, and I'll actually sing live. And, you know, but this, how seriously people took it was odd to me. Like, really? You're that fired up because I said I'd rather hear somebody sing live? You couldn't just go, I don't care. Couldn't just be that. Had to be, you're an idiot. What do you know? Let's see you do it. I'm like, my God, calm down. It'd be turned into commentary on women and Latino women and all this stuff. I'm like, this is silly.
Well, yeah,
at best.
So my kids are sitting there, 15 years old, and they called it filthy, which is, you know, their word
for good.
Oh, but But Kathy thought it was filthy, too. But her definition of filthy is different than theirs.
See, hers was the negative.
She was not happy about it. Yeah.
Thought it was inappropriate.
She thought it was inappropriate.
Well, you know how I said that thing about equity and Russell Wilson building it? J-Lo with me, I just, having listened to her when she's on the, was America's Got Talent or whatever the show.
Oh, yeah. She used to be a judge.
No, it was American Idol.
It was American Idol. And her advice to people was that, you know, be someone that's easy to get along with and that I've always, you know, been that kind of a person. She has so much built up to me that, like, I don't even care what she did out there. And I saw the whole thing in the pregame with her and Alex Rodriguez. Alex Rodriguez is very likable now.
Yeah,
he was. Did you see the video of him in the crowd while they were performing? He had looked like maybe
he was
selfie
having a great
stick.
Time. Did
he was in the middle of the crowd out there on That's the field, awesome. And he's just like, he's going nuts. It was a funny video.
Yeah, so I mean, they're very supportive of each other, but J-Lo is incredible. She really is. I don't know much about Shakira, but
I lean a little bit more towards Shakira.
Do you?
Yeah, she looked great. She was. They were very entertaining. My only critique was, hey, it'd be nice to hear him sing live, and people lost their mind. It's like, well, how dare I have an opinion that didn't line up with yours?
Well, that's the way it is these days, Bob. What's wrong?
I know.
With
I need
you?
To take a know? Poll and see what the consensus is, so I can blend in and not upset anybody. Yes. But it was just the amount of energy spent on, it's your problem. Let's see you do it. Like, whoa! I didn't say they were terrible. I didn't say it was garbage, which some people were. It's an opinion.
Yeah.
It's okay. But, Dave, you didn't see it, so you don't get to weigh in.
Yeah, well, I saw the highlights and stuff like that. So, I think my daughter and wife both thought that it was, you know, pretty amazing. That
I'm guessing your wife is a former cheerleader, having to learn dance moves, and it would probably have a deep appreciation for what they were doing.
Well, and the dancing part of it was probably the bigger part of the show, right?
Oh, it's them and then 30 dancers up there with them. I mean, it's a big choreographed thing going on. So, yeah, it was.
It wasn't boring. I think we can all agree on that. It was not boring.
No, I didn't think so. Yeah. I didn't think it was boring.
Remember in one of the early Super Bowls? Remember Up With People? They came to our high school.
When was that?
That's Wooster High School, by the way. 1981 state champions.
You guys ever win a championship?
Yeah, we did. They came and there was like positivity and singing these things choreographed. Does anybody remember that?
Yeah, I remember.
Up With People at halftime. Yeah. I mean, we've come a long ways, haven't we? It was hokey as can be.
Well, it wasn't in like the early days, like marching bands and stuff like that.
It was like a high school marching band in one of the Super Bowls. I can't remember. It was one of the
first one.
First one, probably.
The 206. The only people who could possibly think that halftime show was good are knuckle-dragging sexists.
Really?
Apparently, Maura and Jess, you guys are all knuckle-dragging sexists because you thought the halftime show was good.
That's us.
That's you. It sums you all up. Stacey, all of them.
I just thought it was impressive from the aspect of, like, these women are not super young, and they were, I think what they did was pretty athletic, actually, to get up there and dance the way they did for so long.
I couldn't do it. I can tell you that.
Be out of breath
watching.
How old
is Shakira? Is she in her 40s?
She's 43. It was her birthday yesterday, and J-Lo's 50.
My goodness. All right. Well, there you go.
J-Lo does not look 50.
No.
Neither one of them look their age.
No.
All right, coming up, we'll talk some more football. The professor is out. He's traveling, but Paul Moyer is going to sit in for him, as he's done very well in the past. He's going to do it again. Coming up with Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Wow, you sure know a lot of stuff.
It's great to learn.
Because knowledge is power.
I feel like we did some learning today. Am I wrong, Maura? Did we do a lot of learning?
We got learned real good.
We learned some stuff. What did we learn?
First thing we learned was don't look at Dave.
Dave loved... Nobody
I don't want
loves,
anybody looking at me.
Dave, nobody loves being on video more than Dave Wyman.
Yeah, I don't like that. You know, when I was a little kid, my mom
said... Right now the video's on you.
Yeah, I know. I'm just not going to talk. How about that? Then they can't... when I was a little kid, my mom told me that if people ever looked at me like, she'd say, oh, he's a cute little boy or whatever. Oh, look at he's a little devil, whatever. And I would put my arm up over my face.
You didn't want that kind of attention.
So they wouldn't look at me.
I don't
care for it.
I guess it was good that you played football because you're wearing a helmet.
See, I like that part.
Probably didn't get recognized a ton. Compared to if you were an NBA player, everybody would know who you were and immediately
Man,
yell,
I got...
Yeah.
I think I had a sack and a half on a Monday night football game against the Raiders. And afterwards, I walked out of the stadium and went to a bar across the street and had beers and dinner with my girlfriend at the time.
And nobody,
said thought you were a fan
anything to me.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
And now you're on TV all the time, too.
Yeah. But, you know, it's TV. This is radio. Why are we on TV? It's radio.
Oh, that's true.
They want to take advantage of these handsome faces. That's what God. It is, I think.
Somebody said, yeah, that I had the perfect face for radio. It's like, yeah, that's why I don't want to be on video.
So how are you if people approach you in public? If they're like, oh, Dave Wyman, can you sign this? Or can I get a picture? Or are you like, oh, don't.
It doesn't happen enough to annoy me. So
if it happened more, it might annoy you.
No, I mean, that's not really a thing for me. But every once in a while. Anyway, right. That's enough.
What else did we learn?
We learned where Jim falls on the degenerate scale.
Did you bet on the coin flip?
50. No.
Okay.
I did not. Degenerates bet on the coin flip.
You were my first thought.
You know, I'm in the same ballpark as a degenerate, but not quite there yet.
I thought Jim is losing before one snap.
There was a Pee Wee baseball team that you bet on.
Oh, I did bet on Little League Baseball, the World Series one time, yeah. I did do that. Yeah, that qualifies.
Is that better than a coin toss?
Yeah, I did bet on 12-year-olds. I admit it.
Aren't you glad that I'm here to keep it straight, Jim, and let everybody know your history? Because that would have gone unsaid.
Does it make it less of a degenerate if I was to tell you that I won that bet?
No.
Oh, that's great. No.
You still bet on it.
Did you donate the money?
No.
Yeah,
to the Jim Moore Fund. I would, if on the degenerate scale, I would put the Little League World Series below the coin toss.
Like, would you?
Yeah. Betting on little kids feels weird. A coin toss, you're like, well, I got a 50-50 shot, or in your case, heads every time. But
I'll bet Dave doesn't feel that way.
If you have to watch it, it makes it more interesting.
Well, ESPN broadcasts the games. They're on.
Did it feel weird at all betting on little kids?
Is that harming anyone?
What about the spelling bee? Would you bet on the spelling bee?
I didn't, but... Yeah.
Next time.
Is it weird to be there behind the TV going, come on, you got to catch that ball, screaming at a 12-year-old?
I can't remember the circumstances of myself watching the game in particular, but I don't think I was screaming at the kids, you know, like,
pull that kid out of there. Nah. He can't pitch at all.
Nah.
I don't think it was harming anyone.
No. Nah.
Jim screaming at the TV. Kid's a bum. Get him out.
Yeah.
What else did we learn?
We learned that you did not want anything to do with the tease that I wrote about Russell Wilson.
All right, coming up, has Russell Wilson joined the, and she wrote this, I'm just telling you right now, Dave, Let Russell Cook movement. It almost sounded like it during a Pro Football
Who's
Talk
she?
Interview. That would be Linda.
You talking about Maura?
Yeah. We'll let you.
She's just trying to needle me for no good reason.
I would never.
You wouldn't do that.
Dave's got us all leery.
There was something else you did today. Oh, I know. It was who's the coach. I asked a question. Goff or Jimmy Garoppolo?
Oh yeah.
And Maura had to complicate things.
That was needling
who's
you?
The coach?
I'm sorry.
Who's the coach?
Yeah, we're all walking on eggshells with single high safety and let Russell cook.
So what does that mean exactly, the let Russell? Because I don't know what single high safety means either.
Unleash him.
Unleash Russell.
I think it means let him air
Put
out.
It all on him. Let him throw the ball.
Throw more?
I guess. I think that's what it means.
It's not been a good formula for him. Throwing more has not been a good formula.
Now,
for
you didn't get a chance earlier to address the multiple texts we got with people saying, Dave, what did you think of Troy Aikman on the broadcast saying single high safety? Because it's gotten to a point where when people hear it, they immediately think of you now.
Great. Everybody's got to be famous for something. I talked to Aaron Levine about that, and he's like, no, people have been saying that for years. And I'm like, no. Do you remember?
No.
Jim or Bob? Maura,
I don't remember. It feels like it's really been leaned on. If it has been said in the past, it didn't really catch my ear the way it has now.
And the thing that strikes me about it is that, like, somebody's thinking, that's what all the cool guys are saying.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say that.
Does anybody say double high safety?
No. Too high safety?
Let's bring that one in, Jim.
Double high safety.
Double high safety.
Okay.
I don't know what it means,
but
let's do it.
I'd have to know it if I saw it, and I don't know that.
Sounds complicated.
Yeah.
Sounds like cover two. And the other one sounds like cover one. So
Those terms aren't
good. Why don't you just say that?
Because it's antiquated. We need a more modernized way of speaking as well as a modernized offense.
What was the guy saying today about some kind of creative mixture?
Creative mix.
Like you would know?
Pirouettes. You need pirouettes now.
Isn't creative a very subjective word? I mean, you're bringing taste into it, right?
What your definition is of creative.
Well, it's suggesting that the Seahawks aren't creative.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but we heard San Francisco wishing that Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson, you know, were out there on that on the field for that moment. They would have gone for it. They wouldn't have been nearly as conservative. That was great.
Should we make a rule that, like, if your team gets to the playoffs and gets double-digit wins, that you're not allowed to complain? Like, you just have to say, well, they're doing something right.
Especially since you were a four-win team last year.
What would we talk about when football season ends?
Yeah, I know.
Well, I get... Fair point.
I get that people... And that's fine. People want to weigh in as far as, you know, what to call and what, you know, that's kind of being a fan. But when you're so sure that you're right, that's what bothers me.
Yeah, when there is no other answer but the one you are presenting.
Yeah, our friend that was telling you that you need to move to hockey because you don't know what you're talking about when you played football.
Yeah, the guy that's 9 years in the league. What do you know about NFL football? What else did we learn?
I was going to say that we learned that Dave Wyman and Paul Moyer weren't fast friends, but we're going to have to just say that because we don't have time to play it.
Ah, yeah.
Oh, you want me to tell you that he screamed at me in the huddle when I was a little rookie?
Come on, rookie, get this in here. You didn't like Moyer at first.
Yeah, what a punk.
Now you guys are best of buddies. You're inseparable.
Yeah, we are.
That's all of it? All right, that's good for us. Thanks to our guest today, Paul Moyer, Dave's bestest buddy in the whole wide world, for sitting in for the professor today. You can find anything you missed at 710sports.com. Click the podcast button, scroll down to our picture. Click on that, and everything you miss each and every day is waiting for you right there. We're back tomorrow right here with Bob, Dave, and more on 710 ESPN Seattle.
I don't know, Bobby.